सागरी माताजी, वी आर रीडिंग चैतन्य चरितामृत अंत्य लीला चैप्टर 3 to 150 अनुवर्स। माताजी प्लीज टेक ओवर द कॉल। माताजी
Sorry, I was on mute. I firstly wish to thank the organizers to give me this opportunity to read more about Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur and purify myself. And I would just like to share a few things that I read and learned about him in today's class. We'll start with the verses and then the Mangalacharan, and then we can go to the discussion. So this is verse number 250 of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. Tabe nari kahe tanre kari namaskara, ami maya karite ailana pariksha tumara. Translation: after offering obeisances to Haridas Thakura, the woman said, I am the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I came here to test you. Next verse. 251, 3.251. Brahma jiva ami sabare mohilun, ekele tomare ami mohite narilun. I have previously captivated the mind of even Brahma. What to speak of others? Your mind alone have I failed to attract. Verse 3.252-253. Mahabhagavata tumi tomara darshane, tomara Krishna nama kirtana shravane. Chitta shuddha haila chahe Krishna nama laite, Krishna nama upadeshi kripa karamote. Translation: my dear sir, you are the foremost devotee. Simply seeing you and hearing you chant the holy name of Krishna has purified my consciousness. Now I want to chant the holy name of the Lord. Please be kind to me by instructing me about the ecstasy of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. 3.254. Chaitanyavatareva he premamrita vanya, sabajiva prema bhase prithivi haila dhanya. There is now a flood of the eternal nectar of love of Godhead due to the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. All living entities are floating in that flood. The entire world is now thankful to the Lord. 3.255. Evanyaya yena bhase se jiva chara, koti kalpika bhutara nahika nistara. Translation: anyone who does not float in this inundation is most condemned. Such a person cannot be delivered for millions of kalpas. And the last one is 3.256. Purve ami rama nama panachi shiva haite, tomara sange lobha haite Krishna nama loite. Laite. Translation: formerly I received the holy name of Lord Rama from Lord Shiva, but now due to your association I am greatly eager to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पदान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते गिरिराजस्वामिनिति नामिने नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे ओके As we see, we are discussing the glories of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He is an epitome of forbearance or tolerance, as we can see through the whole chapter. There are so many anecdotal evidences of how Srila Haridas Thakur, he put up with a lot of, in one sense, atrocity or torture, you know, from various from many people. Like, for example, he was from a Mohammedan family. He was born in a Mohammedan family. And because he took to Krishna consciousness, his own clan, they were so much against him. And so he had to, you know, at every point of time, we see there are so many instances we see where Srila Haridas Thakur actually displayed this this quality or this virtue of tolerance and forbearance, and so readily forgave the people who committed these atrocities against him, and you know, mercifully gave them the holy name. So I will want to first read Srila Prabhupada's purports here. This is verse 251, the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Beginning from Lord Brahma down. Sorry, I need to go back one. Oh, yeah, purport. This is 250. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Lord Krishna says, Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. This was actually proved by the behavior of Haridas Thakura. Maya enchants the entire world. Indeed, people have forgotten the ultimate goal of life because of the dazzling attractions of the material world. But this dazzling attraction, especially the attractive beauty of a woman, is meant for persons who are not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. One who is surrendered unto me cannot be conquered by the illusory energy. The illusory energy personally came to test Haridas Thakura, but herein she admits her defeat, for she was unable to captivate them. How is this possible? It was because Haridas Thakura fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by chanting the holy names of the Lord 300,000 times daily as a vow. So in this pastime, a few verses before, we see that when Haridas Thakur moved in, to actually stay or live with Advaita Acharya very mercifully and kindly constructed a small cave for Advaita Acharya. So he was, for Haridas Thakur. So he was living in that cave and he was chanting, like we see, 300,000 names a day. So he had to undergo so many tests, you know, and the other locations like we saw in how, about the Benapola pastime, and also Chandpur, like so many places he had gone through, so many tests in time. And we see now he has come here closer to Sri Advaita Acharya, and he's living there in a cave. And this is, I think, the Fulia Gram, if I'm not wrong. So even there, Maya Devi comes in the form of a lady, a beautiful, attractive lady, to actually entice Srila Haridas Thakur. If we closely observe this verse, we see that she is saying that I am the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here Srila Prabhupada is referring to Bhagavad Gita 7.14, where Lord Krishna is saying that this divine energy of mine, consisting of three modes of material nature. So we see that here Prabhupada has picked this verse to actually speak about Maya, who is trying to entice Haridas Thakur, because this Maya Devi is actually acting as an agent of Krishna here in this particular episode which we are seeing. She's acting as the agent of Krishna and testing Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of the Lord, only to teach, you know, common people like us a lesson as to how we need to stay away, or we need to be, you know, how we can be away from Maya, or how we can control ourselves from the captivating effects of Maya. So here, if you see, Krishna is very, you know, Prabhupada is quoting in this verse where Krishna says, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature. So in earlier some verse, we have seen that, you know, Bhumi Rapo Nalovayo Khammano Buddhire Vachankaratime Bhinna Prakriti Ashtada. He tries to differentiate this material energy as a differentiated, or, you know, a Bhinna Prakriti, like a Bhinna Amsha of Krishna, Bhinna energy of Krishna. But in this verse, we see that Prabhupada has quoted this verse where he says, when Krishna is saying, Daivi hi esha gunamai. Because this is actually, this Maya or here is actually used to bring out the greatness of this devotee. And Srila Haridas Thakur and Maya Devi is simply playing a role there as an agent of Krishna to elicit this, top nature of Haridas Thakur, who is never tempted by, you know, any of these captivating tendencies of Maya in any form. Like, apart from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we've discussed so far in the third chapter, there are so many other pastimes given in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and which are even sweeter, you know, like very close to this pastime. I was reading about a few other pastimes where, you know, the very famous pastime of how, because Srila Haridas Thakur, being born in a Muslim family, this was very much opposed by the by his own community, by the Mohammedan community. And the king, the Mohammedan king, then warned Srila Haridas Thakur to give up this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and take, you know, go back to reading Quran. But Haridas Thakur, he insisted that you may even cut my body into pieces, but I'm not going to give up this chanting of the holy name of Allah. So that was his firm conviction, and that was his firm determination. So when the Mohammedan king tried to convince him and was not able to do so, he warned him that the Qazis will not take it lightly. You're going to be punished severely. So he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, different marketplaces, and he almost collapsed. We also know that, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Haridas Thakur is so dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually entered into the body of Haridas Thakur and took the beatings on himself. And that's how Srila Haridas Thakur actually survived beating, you know, the beating, the whips he got in 22 different marketplaces. So at the end of this incident, they were actually thinking if they should actually, you know, bury Srila Haridas Thakur or cremate him, or what should they do. And then they decided that, you know, even if you, you know, they were so cruel that they did not want to give him a proper burial or a funeral. So they said, we'll just throw him into the sea. He doesn't deserve that. And then they threw him into the sea, and miraculously, Srila Haridas Thakur, he woke up at the other end of the bank of the river. And he again started chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he was, it's actually said in the Chaitanya Bhagavata that he pretended to be dead in front of those Mohammedans, you know, after all this whipping, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inside his material body. These are Siddhadehas. Sorry, excuse me for that. So inside his transcendental body, he pretended to be dead so that the Mohammedans will be forgiven, so that they'll give up beating him so much, and you know, and they will be forgiven of their sins. So he did that as an act. Just he pretended to, you know, fall down and pretended to be dead so that they will just throw him away and they will be saved of further sinning and further hitting, you know, by hitting him more. So that was the kind and merciful nature of Srila Haridas Thakur. So when he swam across the ocean, the river, and went to the other bank, he again started chanting the holy names of the Lord. So that was his firm conviction and faith in the holy name of the Lord. And that was his nature, so forgiving and trying to distribute the holy name of the Lord to the fallen souls. There are a couple of other incidents also, you know, pastimes which are also mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, which I would like to, you know, bring to the fore here, just to highlight the glorious nature of this great devotee, Srila Haridas Thakura. There's another incident, so I'm not sure. I tried to check with some devotees, senior devotees, regarding this cave. I think this is the cave Advaita Acharya built for him, and when he was in this cave, or is it referring to another cave? I'm not sure of that because I couldn't connect the facts. So let's just take it. When he was living in this cave, there was a poisonous, very, very poisonous snake also in the cave. So the villagers there, they came and they saw that they were not even able to come close to this cave because the poison generated by this snake was so bad, and it was causing a lot of heat to be generated. But Haridas Thakur, he was just sitting there and chanting in the cave, and he never felt anything because he was so absorbed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he never felt that there was heat, but the people who were coming to get darshan of him, they were feeling the heat and they couldn't even come close to it. So, you know, they were like, what's happening? Something is wrong, you know, like we need to get Srila Haridas Thakur out from there. And so they tried to investigate, and that's when they came to know that there is a very, very poisonous snake actually living there. So they discussed with the other villagers and the chief of the village. And then, you know, they wanted to see that Haridas Thakur is not actually harmed. In fact, Haridas Thakur did have some snake bites. That's what I read somewhere. But still, he was oblivious to all this. That was his tolerant nature. That was his forbearance. He was oblivious to the snake, and he was just chanting the holy name of the Lord. And so when these villagers, when they approached him and told him that he needs to get out of this cave, you know, because this is really harming. I mean, when they're outside, they're feeling the heat. Imagine him sitting there in the cave. So then Srila Haridas Thakur said that, you know, by tonight, either I leave or the snake leaves. So if the snake does not leave by tomorrow, I'll leave this village and go. So what happened was, miraculously that day evening, the snake actually crawled out and it went away from there. So that is the potency of Srila Haridas Thakur. There's another incident also. This is also a snake related incident, but very sweet nevertheless. I wanted to share. Srila Haridas Thakur, once there was the snake charmer in the house of a rich merchant. He was doing the snake dance kind of thing. You know, he had a snake and he was playing his that snake charmer's flute or whatever you call that. And he was playing the music and the snake was dancing to it. And he was also reciting Kaliya Leela, you know. So when Haridas Thakur just passed there, he was reminded of the Kaliya pastime, Krishna Kaliya pastime, and he went into transcendental ecstasy. And, you know, he started exhibiting those symptoms. He fell down on the ground, like totally unconscious, you know, like it is said that when they go into transcendental ecstasy, they cannot even sense their breathing, you know, when they put cotton to the nose, like you cannot even sense their breathing. They go into their spiritual body like that. So he lay there flat, and then, you know, the snake actually went and touched the lotus feet of Srila Haridas Thakur. And then the snake charmer, he started glorifying Haridas Thakur. And what happened was, there was one envious Brahmana who was there, and he saw this whole episode, and he also wanted to play the same thing. He was actually envious of Srila Haridas Thakur. So what he did was, when the snake charmer was playing his flute and the snake was dancing, he also went and appeared to fall, you know, down there as if dead and in transcendental ecstasy. He was playing around. He was not in transcendental ecstasy, as he was he was a charlatan. He was just trying to mess there. So the snake charmer, he got very upset about this, you know, this pretentious behavior of this Brahmana, and he started hitting him. So the villagers there, they asked, what is wrong? I mean, why are you hitting him? You know, he's also in transcendental ecstasy. So why are you hitting him, whereas you're glorifying Haridas Thakur? So then the snake charmer, he replied that this man is actually a fake. He's not having any transcendental symptoms. Haridas Thakur is such a great devotee of the Lord that, you know, like this man cannot even come close to it. Actually, in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it is mentioned that the Naga Raja had entered the snake charmer. So the snake, the Naga Raja, which is none other than Ananta Shesha, he was speaking on behalf of the snake charmer. So Ananta Shesha was speaking from the body of the snake charmer, and he was glorifying this great devotee of the Lord, Srila Haridas Thakur. So he knew, you know, who was a fake and who was the true devotee here. So the snake charmer, who's actually Ananta Shesha, was glorifying Srila Haridas Thakur's qualities to the villagers. And so, you know, his fan following kind of kept increasing, you know, all the more, because as people came closer to him, it is the power of a pure devotee, you know, they are very attractive. They have Sagunan Samatityan Brahma Bhuyaka. So like, they have all these divine qualities in them. It comes naturally to them, because as they are so pure, all these qualities of Krishna also are manifest in the pure devotees of the Lord. So he was so pure, and Ananta Shesha took this opportunity to actually glorify this devotee of the Lord. So we see that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended for this particular pastime, you know, this Chaitanya pastime, so many demigods and so many, you know, of these great devotees of the Lord also wanted to relish this nectar of Chaitanya, you know, the Harinama, and also the Prema, the Krishna Prema, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was freely distributing in Kali Yuga especially. So many devotees, they took this opportunity, and we see elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, like how the Panchatattva are none other than, you know, they are the incarnations, or in one sense, the partial incarnations of Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, Narada, like that. And here we see Haridas Thakur, he was none other but a personification of Lord Brahma himself, and also Prahlad Maharaj. Like we see Prahlad Maharaj, he was born to a demon father, you know, a demon king. And he suffered so much at the hands of his own father. So much, you know, so many pastimes we have seen where he was actually, his father Hiranyakashipu tried to put him to death. You know, he was thrown into a pit of snakes. He was actually, his father tried to burn him alive like that. So many different, you know, trials he went through. We see that even Srila Haridas Thakur, so many different tests, you know, he's going through so many different tests in time, but still he had so much faith in the holy name. Just like how Srila Prahlad Maharaj also always called out to Vishnu, to Krishna, you know, for help. Like that, Srila Haridas Thakur also had this full faith in the holy name of the Lord and always was chanting the holy name of the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj is one amsha of Srila Haridas Thakur, and also Lord Brahma. He is also Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma, when he was actually witnessing these pastimes in the Dwapara Yuga, when he saw these, Krishna and his friends, they actually entered into the mouth of Aghasura. He was very bewildered. Brahma was very bewildered. And he saw that, how come this is such a little boy and these cowherd boys are so happily entering into the mouth of such a big poisonous snake, such a huge snake. Aghasura was like around 8 miles in length or something, you know, like a whole city would fit inside his mouth. So they were happily going into his mouth and playing as though it is some, you know, it's a slide or something. It's a cave or a slide like that. So Brahma was very bewildered, and he also saw how actually Krishna, you know, killed Aghasura, and the soul of Krishna, I mean, the soul of Aghasura merged into actually Krishna's toenail. So he was very bewildered that, what is this? You know, I mean, this thing can happen to Narayana or Vishnu, but this is appears to be a small cowherd boy. So when he saw this episode, he felt convinced that this is none other than, you know, Lord Vishnu or Narayana. But then again, he saw moments later that Krishna was happily enjoying a lunch with his, with the cowherd boys and behaving like an ordinary child, you know, sharing food from with them, you know, doing all kinds of things, favors for them, you know, things. So he was like, okay, maybe I was wrong. He's not Narayana. He's just a mere child. And that's when, you know, he tries to take away these cowherd men and the calves and the cows. And then, you know, he hides them for 1 year, the Brahma Vimohan Leela. And then he learns his lesson that, he was actually dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead here. So he learns his lesson and he begs for forgiveness. And that's when it is stated in Chaitanya Bhagavata that Brahma, he wanted to take birth, you know, in a very, very low family, just as a sign of humility, and then experience these wonderful pastimes of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, who came to give this Harinama in Kali Yuga. So this, as we see in the further verses as we go, this Harinama, this flood of holy names is not a simple thing. Though we may, you know, or perhaps personally speaking, I may take it, you know, very lightly that, okay, it's just Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but this is not such a, you know, a cheap thing, or this is not, it is such a big treasure that sometimes we may fail to realize that even all these demigods, these great personalities, even Vishnu himself, he's coming down to actually taste this nectar when this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are happening. All these demigods are standing in a line to come there and benefit this actual pastime. This pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this benevolent mood, freely distributing Krishna Prema, is actually so special that all these people are waiting in line. So that is our big fortune that we need to remind ourselves every time when we, you know, kind of take this for granted. You know, sometimes after many years of being in Krishna consciousness and also due to the divine mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharajas, sometimes we do tend to take it very lightly as to, you know, this is just another thing like that. But no, it's not a simple thing. We need to remind ourselves that we have been given the greatest treasure and we need to take that much care of it. Like how if you had a big diamond or something, how much care you would take care. The same way we need to take enormous care of this great treasure that has been given to us by our gurus. So we see that Srila Haridas Thakur, he has gone through so many tests here. And in a very interesting article I was reading on Back to Godhead some days back, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Vishakha Devi Dasi, Vishakha Mataji, she's like a photographer. She's taken many photographs, and her husband and her have compiled the Prabhupada series, you know. So she had written an article in Back to Godhead about different kinds of tests, you know, a person goes through. I thought it'll be a little... it'll be nice to take a little digression and to see what kind of tests generally we face, you know, in our journey. So the first test she talks about is that, you know, when a person actually comes to the human platform from an animal platform, you know, ahara nidra bhayam maitunam cha, when you kind of transcend that and come to realize that you are a human being with some extra intelligence, not just to indulge in eating, mating, sleeping, and the four things. But you need to go beyond that. And the first, the sign of human intelligence is perhaps understanding our relationship with Krishna, and also trying to work on that. You know, offering devotional service to Krishna. So when we get that first, you know, realization that we need to do this, we are actually doing one test there. We go in search of a guru, you know. So Srila Prabhupada, like how Mataji describes in an article, I'm just going to summarize it here. So Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, a person must not blindly accept a guru. They must test if the guru is from a bona fide parampara. Is he actually spreading the message of Lord Krishna? Because the guru must speak the exact same words of Krishna as it is, like how, you know, Prabhupada gave it to us, and how our gurus are following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. So the first test a person performs in life is when they are trying to find a guru, and it's important that we do this test. We should not take it lightly and just accept anything blindly. So we need to first, the first test which is being discussed is, how do you find your right guru? In this Kali Yuga, we see that there are many fake gurus, you know, going around preaching something, trying to give, like a Prabhupada says, some magic mantra, you know, for a few dollars or something, and say that, okay, now you are connected to God. But it's not so cheap, actually. It's not so cheap. So the first test we do is test to find the guru. We test our guru. We see if he's speaking the same words as, you know, as what the acharyas have told. We see that if he or she is from bona fide parampara. So this is the first step perhaps a human being or a person takes, you know, when he is trying to get closer to Krishna. So then once he finds the guru and gets the shelter of the guru in fact now tests him back. So now the test is coming from the guru. So the guru, you know, gives the disciple different kind of services. Sometimes if we are not in direct contact with the guru, you know, sometimes when, like personally, when I approached my Guru Maharaj, I did go through a few tests, I have to admit. And so they do test us, our Guru Maharajas. Because I have had the fortune or the great blessing to have personal association with my Guru Maharaj. So I'm not sure everybody gets that opportunity, but nonetheless, Guru Maharaj will conduct this test through other devotees or through some other situation. So that does happen in other ways. For me, it was a direct experience. My Guru Maharaj did put me through a few tests, and I was told by several devotees that your Guru Maharaj will test you, so be ready for that. So the Guru tests you, you know, the Guru tests you to see if you're ready for this actually, because the Guru is the one who can take you back to Krishna. He can show you, he can connect you back to Krishna. So the Guru tests you in so many ways, and you need to also pass that test. Then the third test, which is being discussed, is about once you get instructions from the Guru regarding Krishna, Prabhupada says that you don't blindly accept, you know, whatever philosophy you're learning. Like, for example, how we are, you know, reading the scriptures and we all ask questions and try to clarify our doubts, our questions, you know, whatever misunderstandings we may have. So this is the right process. Prabhupada says that we should not blindly accept the science of Godhead. Krishna consciousness is a great science, and this has to be read systematically in a scientific way by following the acharyas, by following the literature the acharyas have given us, by following the instructions of a guru. So we do not take these things blindly. So the third test is us testing God, you know, trying to see who is God, what is his nature, what are his characteristics, what are his qualities. So we need answers to this. We should not blindly accept something. You know, if somebody says this is God, you're not going to blindly accept. You're going to test that. That's like a third test, so that you better your understanding of the Lord. And then the fourth test is what the Lord actually tests you back. So once you're going through these phases, and then, you know, you have this firm conviction, then Krishna starts to actually test you back, and he puts you through different situations. Like in this case, we see in this verse, we see how, you know, Srila Haridas Thakur, this again is, we are discussing a very pure devotee of the Lord, but just as an example, as they're showing it to us by example, we see that Maya Devi herself had come here to test this great devotee of the Lord. Similarly, we may go through so many tests in our life, you know, like Krishna may test us in different ways. And as we see, the answer to this test is, as Haridas Thakur clearly exhibits here, is only by surrender, complete surrender to the Lord, can we even pass his test. If you see how Maya Devi is saying in the next verse, verse number 251, I'll continue the discussion because I want to read Srila Prabhupada's purport here. Beginning from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone without exception is attracted by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, human beings, animals, birds, beasts, trees and plants are all attracted by sexual desire. That is the illusion of Maya. Everyone, whether man or woman, thinks that he is the enjoyer of the illusory energy. In this way, everyone is captivated and engaged in material activities. However, because Haridas Thakur was always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was always busy satisfying the senses of the Lord, this process alone saved him from the captivation of Maya. This is practical proof of the strength of devotional service. Because of his full engagement in the service of the Lord, he could not be induced to enjoy Maya. The verdict of the Shastras is that a pure Vaishnava or devotee of the Lord never thinks of enjoying the material world, which culminates in sex life. He never thinks himself an enjoyer. Instead, he always wants to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal, transcendental, beyond the perception of sense gratification and beyond the material qualities. Only if a living entity gives up the false conception that the body is the self and always thinks himself an eternal servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, can he surpass the influence of Maya. Mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantit. A pure living entity who thus attains the stage of anartha nivritti, cessation of everything unwanted, has nothing to enjoy in this material world. One attains this stage only by properly performing the functions of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has written, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya Tato Nartha Nivritti Sya Tato Nishtha Ruchistata. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes freed from all material attachments, attains steadiness in self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about this absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15. If one is actually executing devotional service, then anarthas, the unwanted things associated with material enjoyment, will automatically disappear. So I was trying to look up some lectures of Srila Prabhupada, and you know, generally, like we hear in the lectures, there is a devotee who reads the translation and the purport, and when they read this purport, you know, like for the Devi Hesha Gunamai verse, Srila Prabhupada actually says, so what is there to discuss? There is nothing to discuss. It's as simple as that. Krishna is giving the clear verdict, just surrender unto me, and then you will not be captivated by Maya. So he says that it is as simple as that. So how does that surrender process actually begin? It is described here in this purport. And also, as we have seen earlier in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, through several discussions over the past several years, that it starts with Adav Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha. So Adav Shraddha is, I'm just repeating it, I'm sure all of us are familiar with these concepts by now. Adav Shraddha is, you start with some iota of faith there, you know, like in Dalalir Gita, Khoda Nitai, who is the author of that bhajan? The only prize we need, you know, to get a prize that is being asked is Nityananda, Lord Nityananda is asking, is for some initial faith, you know. And when we get some faith in the process, we take the association of devotees and then, you know, try to find our guru, Tatha Sadhu. So when we surrender unto the guru and, you know, begin this process of bhakti under the bona fide acharya, our actual bhajana kriya actually starts. And then once we go through this service, Vasudeva Bhagavati, you know, the verse which is Janayatya Suvairagya Jnanam Chayata Hetukam. So when we go through this bhajana kriya process, we are actually trying to come up to the platform, and we slowly go to this stage of anartha nivritti, and then, you know, nishtha, ruchi, you know, bhava, prema, like that. So this process, this bona fide process, which is so much, you know, discussed in detail in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is actually being given here by Srila Prabhupada. Because, you know, one may have the question, okay, I surrender unto the Lord, but how do I do? How do I go about the process? So Srila Prabhupada, as we see in this purport, he's so nicely, he's connecting the dots for us and, you know, showing us how we can actually do this. How can we do this? Ma meva ye prapadya. How can we actually surrender unto the Lord? And he says that this is how, by this process, you know, like how Srila Rupa Goswami, he recommends in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as to how we can actually surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm not going to go into too many details about this process here, because we'll discuss a few more things. My dear sir, you're the foremost devotee. Okay, I'm just looking for the purport. Yeah, I'm just seeing if there are any more purports. There is a purport in verse 255.2 I would like to read. Anyone, the translation is, anyone who does not float in this inundation is most condemned. Such a person cannot be delivered for millions of kalpas. The kalpa is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Aharyat Brahmano Viduhu. One day of Brahma is called a kalpa. A yuga or Mahayuga consists of 4,320,000 years. And 1,000 such Mahayugas constitute one kalpa. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says that if one does not take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cannot be delivered for millions of such kalpas. So this is one other purport I wanted to to read Srila Prabhupada's verse. So like we see, the Maya Devi says that she has actually previously captivated the mind of Brahma. In some pastimes, we have seen that how, you know, Brahma was attracted to his own daughter. And also in the Mohini Murti pastime, we see how Lord Shiva was attracted to Mohini. And we have to take these examples which are given here, you know, with not just a pinch of salt, but like a whole load of salt, like a whole bag of salt, a pound of salt, because these personalities are not, you know, these personalities are great personalities. Like Brahma, he is, we are from the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya parampara. So he's an acharya, okay? So when the example is given here, as Maya says, I previously captivated the mind of even Brahma, what to speak of others? We need to take it with a word of caution here. You know, Brahma is not any ordinary entity like that. You know, oh, Brahma himself was, you know, he fell for his daughter. I mean, that's not the spirit we need to take in. And also Lord Shiva, you know, when he fell for Mohini Murti. So these are great personalities who are exhibiting these pastimes or these different qualities just for the sake of instruction for us. So these need to be taken in that light. So there is a nice, a conversation, in which Srila Prabhupada has with his disciples. I was recently reading and I thought that made a lot of sense as to how we must take, you know, when such personalities are mentioned in the Bhagavatam or in our Vedic scriptures, how we should understand, because these are great personalities, they are not ordinary personalities. So one Prabhupada disciple came unto him and said that, Prabhupada, it appears that, you know, an acharya need not be a first class devotee. He does not need to be an uttamadhikari. So then Prabhupada says, why are you even saying such a thing? What makes you think that an acharya, you know, need not be a first class devotee? I mean, where did you get that idea from? He was a little kind of perplexed and also a little annoyed that the devotee was saying such a thing. So then he said, no, Prabhupada, just leave it. You know, I don't. Then he told, who told you this thing? Where are you listening to these things that a guru or an acharya need not be a first class devotee? Who gave you this idea? From where are you getting these thoughts in your mind? So, you know, he didn't want to reveal the whole thing, what happened. So he did not disclose that to Prabhupada. So he was like, no, Prabhupada, I just had this question. So I just wanted to clarify with you. Then Prabhupada said, no, the acharya or the guru is a first class devotee of the Lord. He is not, he's not like a third class. He may come down to the level of a Madhyama Adhikari for preaching, but nonetheless, he is the first class devotee of the Lord. So Prabhupada pressed on further to find out where this devotee was getting this idea from. You know, the acharya need not be, a first class devotee. So then, you know, after so many times, Prabhupada said, no, you have to share it with me, where you're getting this idea from. The devotee shared that he was having a discussion with another devotee. And he told him that we read in the scriptures, then we see that, you know, Brahma is our acharya of our parampara, and he himself fell You know, he's under the mood himself. So, you know, so the Acharya doesn't have to be a first class or an Uttama Adhikari, you know. So he himself is kind of falling to this. So Prabhupada was very annoyed with this, you know. He said, you're manufacturing your own science, your own religion, your own system of, you know, who is an Acharya, how, you know, this is nonsense. He in fact chastised the devotee and said that these personalities are here just to give us instruction. You know, when we say, don't even attempt to talk of these personalities in this light. So we need to always be very cautious when, you know, such examples are quoted in the scriptures, just as an instructional example for us, you know, I mean, for personally me, when we come down to this, we are attracted by too many things and we are prone to, you know, all these different you know, different whatever these baits Maya throws at us, we are prone to those. So we have to take it with that much of you know, caution when such examples are mentioned in the scriptures, because Prabhupada was very, very dissatisfied when he heard, you know, when he heard that the devotee thought Lord Brahma was not, you know, an Uttama Adhikari, and he was just another person like that. So we need, when we read such verses in the scriptures, we have to understand the mood in which they have been told. Like, for example, how Arjuna is being used by Krishna just as an instrument to preach to us. He is the friend, you know, he is the eternal friend of the Lord. So he's not an ordinary entity that who will come under Maya and do such things. So this is a warning. I just wanted to share this conversation, which I was reading about this particular, you know, conversation about the position of Lord Brahma. I thought, because this will serve us as a reminder and a warning how we need to actually approach these great personalities who are just playing these roles here. Like how we see Maya Devi here is acting just purely as an agent of Krishna, you know, to test Haridas Thakur, to teach us a lesson here. It's not like she's trying to test Haridas Thakur. That he's actually a combined, you know, he has the combined potencies of the great Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Brahma himself. So he's not an ordinary entity. But these tests, these devotees, great devotees, they go through are just merely lessons for us to see how we should take, how we should surrender. Maya meva, you know, ma meva ye prapadyante, how we can surrender to the Lord. So we have to take these, you know, tests of this Lord in that spirit, that we actually surrender to the Lord, and also we understand when these examples are given to us in that spirit, that these are not ordinary devotees of the Lord. They're just playing these roles here just to teach us a lesson. The verse 254 says that there is now a flood of the eternal nectar of love of Godhead. You know, when I was reading this verse, I was reminded of this this bhajan. You know, recently I was actually teaching the kids Nitai Gunamani Amar, and I would like to quote a few lines of this bhajan. This is the fourth stanza of this bhajan. Okay, the first one and the fourth one. I'll just sing two lines. Nitai Gunamani Amar, Nitai Gunamani Aniya preme ravanya basailo avani. The fourth one is abadha karuna sindhu nitai katiya moha ghare ghare bhule prema amiya raba. The translation goes like this. My Lord Nityananda, jewel of all virtues, my Lord Nityananda, the jewel of all virtues, has brought the flood of ecstatic love of God that has drowned the entire world. The ocean of mercy had formerly been sealed tight, but Nitai cut a channel in its boundary to allow the great flooding waves of nectarian prema to splash from house to house. So this is how, this is, you know, by this bhajan author is Lochan Das Thakura, and we see how he is describing this, the whole concept which we were reading about earlier, this, you know, there is now a flood of the eternal nectar of love, Godhead. So this is actually being conveyed in this bhajan by Lochan Das Thakura, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they came on this planet, you know, in this Kali Yuga, to distribute this love of Godhead. He, in fact, Lord Nityananda, he cut a channel, you know, Nitai Katiya Mohan. He actually cuts a channel in this boundary, and he's allowing this great flooding waves of nectar. I mean, if you try to visualize it, he's allowing these great flooding waves to go from splash from house to house. We see many a times how Mother Ganga comes to take a darshan of Sri Sri Radha Madhava in Mayapur, and you know, we, Houston also has had its share of floods, you know, where the flood waters entered literally the homes of everybody. So similarly, you know, this this analogy or this allegory is given, that where we can imagine this this flood of holy names, you know, which are freely being distributed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu in this Kali Yuga. And the only price they ask for it, like in Dalailar Gita, is just, you know, one iota of faith. That's all they are asking the price for this. And they're freely distributing it. So I'd like to end here and, you know, pray that we are able to take advantage of this flood of divine love, which was freely distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and following in the parampara, our guru acharyas are giving it to us, and we also try to, you know, progress and go serve in this mood. So thank you all so much. Please forgive me if I made any mistakes or rushed through any parts, or if something was not clear. And please feel free to correct me if you felt something I spoken was not right. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Sukhsagri Mataji. Very, very wonderful class. Thank you so much for inundating us in such nectar. Very nice katha and very nice values. And I really liked the different things that you shared. Vishakha Mataji's article and then the stories and also from the bhajan. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the very nice class. I just had a couple of questions. The first question is about the snake. So I read in Chaitanya Bhagavat it was Vasuki. So was it like it was just mentioned Nagaraja, and then some people interpret it as Vasuki and some others interpret it as Adisesha? Should we understand it like that? Because I see two different understandings from that. So can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, basically from what I understood, like from Chaitanya Bhagavat, from the purports I was reading, it was referring to Ananta Shesh. Maybe there is another, twist to it. That part I'm not very clear, Mataji. But from what little I read, I could grasp it as Ananta Dev. And also there is another, reference also given that he was an incarnation of Brahma Mahatapa. I don't know who that personality is, but
Rishika Muni or someone, who offers
the looking. That references, I'm not able to get much information on those, but suffice it to say that he is an incarnation of Lord Brahma and Prahlad, because this is much clearly discussed in many of the, you know, lectures by our gurus and, also in the books. So the Brahma Mahatapa is not very clear to me. Mm-hmm. And also this aspect you mentioned, I'm not able to throw much light. Sorry about that, Mataji.
Yeah, no worries, Mataji. And the other thing was, as you were talking about Brahma, I know it's a very, I don't know if there is an answer to this question, but then just for the sake of logic, if someone asks, so Mayadevi is saying here that even Brahma gets bewildered by such an act, but here you have an incarnation or an amsha of Brahma himself. So how do we balance that understanding, meaning one side you're saying even Brahma can does gets bewildered, and then one side you see the same Brahma not getting bewildered. How do you understand that?
Yeah, that's so nice. Basically how I understand is that, you know, the holy name of the Lord is so powerful, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Audarya Bhav, you know, in Kali Yuga is so much more potent that, you know, Haridas Thakur took to this chanting, and it was easy for him to overcome this. I mean, like I said, even the Brahma Vimohan Leela, or I mean, like when Brahma was actually, like how Srila Prabhupada says, we need to take them all, you know, as instructional lessons to us. And here the instruction which we are deriving is that Mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. So when you take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, you can easily overcome, though it is like Brahma here who has come in this form. You see that how easily he's able to overcome, like not just Maya. There was this prostitute, you know, hundreds of people trying to beat him to death, you know, like so many different incidents we are, you know, discussed in Chaitanya Bhagavat as well as in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We see that he is easily able to, I mean, at least seemingly easily able to pass through this test because of this faith of the holy name. So that is the special mercy of the holy name. And that's why all these demigods are coming in the, you know, to relish and taste this nectar. Even Vishnu himself comes, you know, because this is so special. Like I mentioned, it's kind of inconceivable for me, at least, you know, coming from a material platform. I don't understand the whole depth of the holy name. Like, you know, I was also reading this another conversation Srila Prabhupada had with, you know, his disciples. So wherein, you know, Prabhupada actually says that, you know, everything is there in our books, you know, all our acharyas, I mean, all the science of Godhead is actually explained in the books, and it is all clearly there. So one disciple, one devotee actually asked Srila Prabhupada, So Prabhupada, we can just read your books, you know, and try to understand and do devotional service, and, you know, we will be able to, understand this, become a devotee like that. So we may not need chanting then, because like you said, everything is there in the books, and, you know, so when you reach that platform that you're able to read the books and meditate on them, you may not need chanting. So Prabhupada immediately corrected him, and he said, no, Kali Yuga is that bad that, you know, every day you have to chant like a medicine to purify and come to the platform to even understand what's in the book. So chanting is a must for Kali Yuga, because that is what will make you understand. He said, like, because of the anarthas, because of our previous lifetime, so many, you know, of our past karma, we are covered by this film of, you know, ignorance or dirt. And every time you chant, this dirt is being cleansed. And only then some portion of these great scriptures are even revealed to us. So without chant, so this, you know, this layer of dirt or this film of which is blocking us from seeing Krishna clearly is not a thin film which will go away with just one, you know, 1 year of chanting or 2 years, because this keeps going when we are in this material world. Unbeknownst to us, we are committing so many, you know, sins, you know, without us, we are stepping onto ants. I mean, there are so many innumerable things we can, you know, go on. Because material world is full of faults, right? We cannot obviate, we cannot kind of distance ourselves from committing a sin once we are in this material world, you know, that is the nature of it. So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so much necessary to keep clearing this film, you know, of this dirt which is there in us, in our hearts. And then only the Cheto Darpana Marjanam will happen, and you can even understand the scriptures. So that is why Kali Yuga, this chanting is recommended so much, because unless we chant, we cannot even see clearly. We cannot understand what is the purport of these scriptures. We cannot understand what the Vedas are trying to, what our gurus are saying, because we are building on our anarthas endlessly. You know, it's very rare, especially given this time and age, that everybody is able to engage 24/7 in Krishna service, right? We tend to have jobs outside. We tend to do so many other things outside of Krishna services. So, you know, this cleansing is every day required for us. And I mean, and only by this cleansing property of the Harinama, that's why the holy name is given so much importance, you know, because the Kali Yuga is so deteriorated that without this regular cleansing every day, like how we take a bath, without this regular cleansing, we cannot understand these Acharyas and scriptures.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very nice.
Thank you, Mataji. It's your mercy. You always call me and try to engage me in some class, and I tend to purify myself just because of your costless mercy.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the wonderful class. I mean, so many lessons to learn, and also you have shared so many nice pastimes. I just wanted to ask if is there any more information on how Haridas Thakur, although being born in a Mohammedan family, how he was able to get the Maha Mantra and chant it, or what age? And
yeah, Haridas, I mean, from what little I read, Mataji, Haridas Thakur got his Harinam Diksha, so to speak, from Advaita Acharya. He associated with Advaita Acharya, and it's somewhere mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavata that that's where he got introduced. And Advaita Acharya, you know, their relationship was so reciprocal that, you know, seeing Advaita Acharya's devotional mood, Haridas Thakur would get going to ecstasy, and seeing Haridas Thakur chanting and, you know, always being an association of the Lord, Advaita Acharya used to, they loved each other's association so much, you know, like, so it was like a very reciprocal process. But yes, from what little I've read, it was Advaita Acharya who introduced this Nama to Haridas Thakur. He used to go and stay with Advaita Acharya and take his association.
Okay, so that's even before this incident, like what we're reading right now. That's even before that.
Yeah, like you said, you know, I tried to check the chronology of the events with some Prabhupada disciples, but they told me that they're not clear on it themselves, and they've asked some other devotees. So if I get an answer, I may be able to give more details onto what was the actual chronology, what happened when. Yeah, but as far as I know, I'm not able to decide.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Very beautiful lesson. So many things to learn, actually. And why we should continue chanting Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mata. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for a wonderful class. I have a question, you know, for a person like me who is more attracted to the material things. And, you know, till the time we don't know, we think that where we are in the material world, we are happy and I'm very comfortable here. How do, you know, we take that? Most of the devotees who get pure devotional service or, you know, mercy of God have to go through a lot of miseries. Take up an example of Prahlad Maharaj being, you know, having a death fear from his own father. So how my loving father Krishna will attract me. Haridas Thakur beat him in 22 marketplaces, and then, you know, he got the mercy of the Lord. So, during these pastimes, as a material person, how do I get convinced that, you know, Krishna consciousness is a path? Because to me, it seems it's a path of miseries. I'm sorry for taking it in a negative way, but, you know, just trying to understand.
Yes, Prabhu, like your question is more based on realization, and from what little I know, maybe you're all more realized than me. And from what little I can share, I would like to say that, I mean, the lesson I tend to derive from these pastimes of the Lord is that, you know, like how Kunti Maharani, you know, she prays for all these calamities to come upon her, you know, more and more, so that she can, you know, get the close association of the Lord, you know, like she recounts the pastimes of how the Lord had saved or protected her sons in each of these trials. And I mean, they went through a whole, you know, series of trials and tribulations, like we all know. And a pure devotee tends to look beyond these external miseries, you know, material kind of afflictions we are put through. And it's like like the verse in Bhagavad Gita that says that rasavarjam, I'm not able to get that
word. Rasavarjam rasopyasya.
Param drishvani vartate. That's what I was trying to go. So, you know, when we reach that particular platform of Krishna consciousness, so it's param drishvani vartate. So, you know, like when given a rasgulla and a spoon of sugar, you naturally tend to go to the rasgulla, right? So if we concentrate our minds, and you know, if Krishna consciousness is our only goal in life, then we kind of, you know, everything else takes a back seat. But yes, like you rightly said, when we do have material attachments, you know, in some way or the other, these all do appear as problems to us. But if we have Krishna consciousness, you know, as our end aim, and if we are in that mood, these things kind of seem to fade away, you know, from our perspective. Because, I mean, let me just give you this example of some devotees I have seen here. Like Houston was hit hard by floods about 3 years back. And many, like about 80% of the city was flooded. And many of the devotees, they lost their homes too. Their houses were flooded. They lost property. They lost jobs. I mean, because, you know, they were having, you know, some business, and the business was flooded and they had to close down. And so many things, like everything was going in the reverse for them. But still, I saw these devotees, they were coming, you know, for deity dressing. They did not take one day off, Prabhuji. They had no home. They moved to a hotel quickly, but they came for deity dressing. They were there. They used to eat whatever prasadam the temple gave. I mean, these are not like ordinary devotees. These are like very well-off devotees, professionals basically. But they were so seamlessly kind of carrying on with their services as though nothing happened. You know, like they endured huge financial losses. They didn't have a home. And, you know, they lost their job and so many things. But I saw them that, you know, they were just coming to the temple and doing their seva as though as nothing has happened. So when I see such devotees, you know, and I mean, the association of such devotees, I feel very confident that, you know, when we are focused, you know, totally on Krishna, these things appear. I mean, of course, we cannot discount that these things, these problems do not exist. They do exist, and they do, you know, we do face them. But how we take them, perhaps a devotee is better prepared to, you know, handle them or take them, because his or her end goal is that, you know, the acceptance of the fact that whatever Krishna, Ashleshyava Padaratam Pineshtumam Adarshanat, the devotee's understanding is that even if you trample me with your feet, you know, that's the best thing for me. So I feel, you know, like if we are in that surrendered mood, it's a little easier to handle. But nonetheless, only the test of time can tell. But these are my humble realizations, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We can't hear you, Prabhuji. Sorry.
Sorry, I was on mute. So this will be helping, or, you know, a thought of a person who is already advanced in Krishna consciousness, a person who is totally material and, you know, is reading the pastimes of these kind of things, he will be more bewildered that, you know, okay, probably I should stay away from Hare Krishnas, you know. So how do we convince them, or how do I get convinced myself? Because I am still transitioning, and at times, to be very frank, it, you know, appears a little frightening that just keep on, you know, anything which comes in is, you know, is Krishna's mercy. So, you know, bad coming in for a long time, it's very hard for me to digest, to be very frank. So how do we understand that? I mean, if one is advanced, for them everything is good, but, you know, in the beginning stages or at the initial stages, how it happens?
If I can just, can I add something at this point?
Yeah, please go ahead.
No, I was just, Prabhu's question is actually, I was remembering of in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there was a point where Yudhishthir Maharaj, had the same feelings as what Prabhu was saying. Krishna, if you test your devotees like this, everyone will be scared of taking to devotional service. They'll think devotees means they will be tortured. So actually, it's very sad that, devotees are seen in that light. But then the idea, not that there is an answer to it that directly there in Rad Bhagavatamrita, but the understanding is that in spite of such severe circumstances, the devotee continuously takes shelter of Krishna. And when the new people, they see the strength with which the devotee handles it, they become inspired. So that's how, they end up solving that and they move forward. But I can probably send you some screenshots. It's not so clear, but still this same question Yudhishthir Maharaj actually asks in Bhagavatamrita. So I wanted to relate to it.
Madhuji, most of the devotees' examples which I see, it's like, miserable life.
Yeah, thanks, Preeti Mataji. Just one,
And it is accounted as being the mercy of Krishna to take them like that. So until Krishna thinks that you are very special, he wouldn't test you. Something like that, it ends up going. Yeah, Suksagri Mataji, you want to add on same lines? Please go ahead.
Yeah. Like what Preeti Mataji was rightly saying, like a devotee takes it, not as a problem, like how the Tathenukampa works, but then Prabhuji, your question is like how a newcomer or a neophyte would take it. It is very difficult, like you rightly said, for somebody who is new to Krishna consciousness or who is not too much, on that path to take these trials and tribulations. And yes, from what my practical understanding is, one would be the association of the guru and the Vaishnavas, perhaps, talking to our counselors and seeing what they have to, offer to us on a personal basis if that demands it. The association of devotees that's why it's so important, because these weeds, like how when our, creeper of bhakti grows, these weeds also grow along with them. And this association of devotees helps us to cut these weeds, down. So it is very important, at least from my realization, that we take regular association of our guru or senior devotees and Vaishnavas, confide in them, discuss with them. And I feel especially for newcomers, it's important to have a spiritual mentor who can guide them. Some people, we do have the luxury of directly being in touch with our guru, but some Guru Maharajas, we don't have that luxury. But nonetheless, one Maharaj, he was advising me and he told me that ISKCON is actually mostly a system of Shiksha, Shiksha Guru, because a Diksha Guru we may meet like once or twice in a year or maybe once in 2 years or something. But fortunately for us, Srila Prabhupada's books are our first Shiksha Gurus. And we have so many other devotees who can guide us. Maybe they've gone through similar situations and they're able to help us. So from a practical point of view, for any of us who are going through problems, I feel that the devotee association will help, and also perhaps discussing with Guru if we have access to that. That's what's coming up to me, Prabhuji, at the moment. I'm not able to give more clarity. I'm so sorry.
I was thinking from the perspective, the reason being is that a couple of my friends were little interested to know about Bhagavatam and all these books. And I thought of that, okay, let me invite them to Bhakti Sangha. But then I thought that probably if they're coming in and hearing stories like that, they will not even come for the second time, what to talk about anything else. So, okay. But I agree with your point, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I guess it would be nice to introduce them to beginner classes rather than more advanced sessions, because we are doing CC Antya and there is some level of maturity, I presume, there. So they may come out as very heavy for a newcomer, but I totally understand where you're coming from, Prabhu. And they may need to go to a different class or a different setting where it's not so much into in depth.
And not only that, Mataji, whenever we are going for the book distribution and, if we talk them about the stories about these kind of things, unless we don't go into the detail or tell them the stories, different things is too. But in reality, if somebody is having little knowledge and comes back with a question, it's probably a little hard to convince, why Krishna consciousness with Midri is still happier than the, material happiness.
Yeah, I totally chime with you on that, Prabhu, because 10 years back, started off on the wrong foot with one friend of mine. She was like, okay, you're doing something in ISKCON. And, you know, I don't know, for some reason I had to tell this. So, you know, we are preparing ourselves for life, but do we ever think of death? I don't know what she thought when I told her that. After that, she never spoke to me about Krishna consciousness, though she talks on other things, but she never. So sometimes, yeah, it can be a little hard, you know, to swallow these truths of Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada, like he says, he teaches the art of dying, not living, you know. Like, I didn't discuss the final test, like I was discussing the different tests Vishakha Mataji was mentioning in the Back to Godhead. The final test she mentioned was the death, you know, the time of our death. But yeah, it is a very delicate subject to broach upon, especially with newcomers. I totally chime with you on that, Prabhu. Thank you.
No, but thank you, Mataji, for a nice, you know, detailed discussion about Haridas Thakur and many details.
Yeah, maybe I rubbed off your wife, Prabhuji.
No, I'm saying that, you know, thank you so much for this detailed, you know, description and pastimes of Haridas Thakur. Many lessons to learn. Thank you so much.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I just rubbed it off Kirtida Mataji, I'm saying. She's such a great speaker herself. Maybe she gave me some of her mercy. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class and very nice discussion, Mataji. Mataji, even like, I don't know whether it is an extension of Ajay Govind Prabhuji's question. Even we can see when the demons getting mercy and devotees are, you know, so much of tested. Like Potana was came with that bad intention and she still given poison, but Krishna has accepted. We with so much of love, we will chant the whole prayers of offering prayers, and still some questions. Okay, whether we have to pronounce this one correctly or did offering properly, and still we are like, you know, we are not to that extent where like Potana has like got it. Even though bad intention, she has got it, but devotees need to do so much, and devotees are tested so many times to get that kind of mercy. It's really, you know, so much hard to digest. For a demon, it is very easy to get that mercy, but for a devotee, it is taking so long time, right? Even if you see Bharat Maharaj, how he had fall down, and so many other examples for devotees who are falling down and again need to take birth, and again, of course, they will continue it and they will go back, but it is very hard for a devotee, right, Mataji?
You're so right, Vinita Mataji. But yeah, like, you know, so many lessons from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where we see such great stalwart devotees, they, you know, portray themselves as nothing, you know. Like when we see even Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, you know, at the beginning of each chapter or the end, he, you know, is actually in so much humility saying that I'm such a fallen soul, you know, unless I had the mercy of these acharyas, I could do nothing, you know, like, so I think if we are in that humble mood, that, you know, like the greatest of devotees, like we see, they always consider themselves to be the lowest, you know. If we are in that mood and we think that I'm doing some devotional service, but it's nothing actually compared to what our other devotees are doing, or, you know, other these great stalwart devotees are doing, I think we may in one sense be able to overcome that problem when we see that, you know, demons are being rewarded and devotees are going through suffering. It kind of helps us assuage this predicament, you know, when we think that when we are in that humble mood and think that we are fallen than even those demons.
Nice, Mataji. Thank you for that, Mataji. And one more thing, Mataji, when Prabhu was speaking about the suffering for the devotee, I always feel like, you know, Krishna will not give a suffering to one person if he's not able to take it. He will see the person and give it. And also he knows that Krishna knows that this person will never go anywhere. Still, after giving so much, he will be with me. And seeing other devotees when they are suffering, still they are in Krishna consciousness, that gives us more encouragement. I mean, like, for me especially, when I see other devotee who don't have anything but still giving whatever they have, everything to Krishna, that gives us very much encouragement. If we have a small health problem, we see other devotee who is having so much big health problem than us, but still they are giving their
wholehearted time. Even they are trying to preach, you know, in the hospitals. It's nothing, you know, what we are suffering is nothing. Like, for me, that gives more encouragement, Mataji. Really, devotees are very, very nice. Maybe that is why I think so Krishna gives the miseries to the devotees so that other people can see and learn from them, right? Yes, Mataji, just want to share that. Hare Krishna.
Thanks so much, Vinita Mataji, for your insights. Thank you.
And Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hi, Bol Mataji.
And then very, very beautiful class, Mataji. And so many things to learn. We have to have complete faith in Krishna, no matter what happens. So many examples you gave of the devotees. And it's really amazing, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very, very inspiring class, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. All goes to Guru and Gauranga and all the great stalwart devotees who are giving us these examples.
Indu Mataji also wanted to comment on this. She's currently not able to speak, but I'm just passing on the comments. So all the 9 processes of devotional service were exemplified by 9 great devotees. And all of them were put through real, real difficult situation. All the 9, they were all, like, for example, Parikshit on the verge of death. He was cursed and he took up to the process very, very seriously, process of hearing. And then again, you see Shukadev Goswami was also, he was taking to the process of Kirtanam, but he was also in one sense, in a particular situation, where he had perfected it, meaning he had just moved away from Jnani to becoming a devotee. And then you also have Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, which is Prahlad Maharaj was the classic candidate of being put to so many tests. Archanam, Vandanam, like that it goes on till Amrish Maharaj, who was really, really in a terrible situation. So their strength that they displayed during this time is what actually makes them the perfect candidate, and people can learn from them, getting inspired that even under such situation, only a devotee can be so strong and stable and do it. So let me take inspiration, something like that. So that's what Mataji has sent. So I'm reading out her comments. And this was from Maharaj's lecture, Raghunath Maharaj's lecture on the 9 processes of devotional service that he gave a couple of weeks back.
Thanks so much, Preeti, for reading. And thank you, Indu Mataji, for typing out so much. I really appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Go ahead, Mataji. Okay, go ahead, Mataji. Sita Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, wonderful class Mataji. And you know, like the everybody had such beautiful questions and wonderful answers which you gave. So what I thought over here was like, you know, when we go into distress, like the basic line is like when we go into distress is when, this is just my sort of realization which I felt over here. When, like, if you accept, if you surrender and you accept things as it is, then you do not have any problem in going through whatever situation, like all the 9 processes, as Mataji said, all the devotees of the Lord, they did not question the Lord for why they are going through something. So once we just accept it, then only the things become easy for us to digest. And if at all we retaliate to it, like, why is this happening to me? That means at that point, if we are trying to bargain with the Lord that I did so much for you and why is it happening to me? Once you come to that stage, then I think all the problem arise over there. Like, I just felt this so profoundly that if you just accept it, it is so easy. And if you do not accept it, if you just try to find a reason out, so reasoning does not help out in bhakti, I guess. This is what I'm just trying to come to some conclusion. I know you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Out of realization, very nice. Sita Priti Mataji.
So many things happening, right, Mataji? Like,
oh, nice
surrendering
to
is the nice go. To hear from you, Mataji. So nice to hear from you.
Please go ahead. Sorry, Mataji. I was just saying it's nice to hear your realizations, and you know, it will help me also, Mataji. I mean, this is material life, and I mean, all of us go through situations. So thank you so much for sharing, Mataji. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mata.
So nice to hear from you, Mataji. Beautiful class. I don't have questions, but I also have a realization to share. I was thinking how Krishna mercifully has set the examples of devotees, his devotees, who would teach us from their examples. So I was just thinking, like, probably there are two types. Like, in one example, one type, there are devotees who fall down, but they are teaching us from their examples. And there is another type where they don't fall down at all. And they teach us mercifully, like, how we should stick to Krishna all the time, even when Krishna is testing us again and again. And like you said, I really like the example of Prabhupada you mentioned, like how we should not comment on the dear devotees of Krishna who teach us through their examples, that even though they fall down, we should not comment on that. And I really liked your answer when you said, because Haridas Thakur has taken the shelter of Harina, and that's the thing, and he's the example of Kali Yuga. So I think that's the best. That's the thing we should do in Kali Yuga, right? We should take shelter of Harina. And I was always thinking, why Haridas Thakur has to go so many tests again and again? I always had this question, but I think it is a little bit clear for me today. Because like you said, he has taken the shelter of Harina, and that's what we're supposed to do. And Krishna is confidently testing him. Krishna knows how many times I would test him, he would come out of it successfully, because he has taken the shelter of Harina. So yeah, I think it's now a little bit clear, because if you see other examples, devotees are not tested so many times, but why Haridas Thakur being tested so many times again and again and again? So that's, he has come to glorify the Harinam, and he has taken the shelter. That's why we call him Namacharya, right? So he's the best example probably who could show why we should not fall down again and again, even when we are being tested. And I think Krishna gives stress. Not Krishna gives stress, but we get stress just because we should get closer to Krishna, not just go away from Krishna. That's the purpose why we are getting stress. That's it, nothing else. So yeah, that's all I just wanted to share, Mataji. Very, very nice class as usual. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Like, all your profound realizations are, they help me also so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, there are no other questions, comments, or realizations. Should be in
the
Yeah, go ahead, Radhika.
Oh, sorry, Mataji. I was just, Mataji, so sorry. I joined halfway, and absolutely a brilliant question and answer session. I really loved it. And obviously, Mataji, your classes are really, really good, and we always look forward to having more of your association. So with regards to the question that Prabhuji had, even I have few comments. If you don't mind, can I share them, Mataji?
Oh, please, Mataji, please go ahead.
Again, I could be totally wrong, so please correct me. And so the thing is, pure devotees are tested, and they are going through so many trials and tribulations, but at the end of the day, they come out successfully, and Krishna gives them and shows them a way to come out of it successfully. So why are they, first of all, given these trials and tribulations, right? I mean, being a devotee, why would Krishna want to test them so many times, so many things, and that too, big tests that nobody can agree upon? Say, for example, a Sakama devotee is there. He just goes to Krishna and asks for material benefits. Okay, I give you this, I'll do all this to you, and you give this to me in return. And, he gets whatever he wants through that process of Sakama, where it's fruitive. If Krishna is not going to test a pure devotee, everybody will then go, I'll also go for pure devotional service, because Krishna is not you know, putting that person into trial or tribulation. So I'll also go there. I'll also get into that path. You know, people will just start abusing the process of pure devotional service, because this is something that Krishna wants. And he wants to make sure that the devotee has full faith on him and he's surrendered to him completely. And when he does that surrender, Krishna is ready to reciprocate to him in whatever way possible. So pure devotional service is not a bargain. That is anya abhilashita sunyam. There is unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. You are not expecting anything in return. So when you have these platforms, there is karmakanda, sakama, and then you know, there are so many marks, right? Jnana mark, karmakanda. I mean, whatever mark you want, you can choose. Where you can just say, I want to work. I want to just detach myself and give the fruits to Krishna. Or you can say, I want to purify myself by doing this work in a detached mode and then go to Jnana mark. Or I can say that, okay, you know, I want to completely renounce when I feel comfortable that my heart is purified, and I would like to take up Ashtanga yoga when I feel comfortable that I can be successful there. So Krishna gives us so many options, which way you want to go and which direction you want to go. And if you think for you devotional service is the best, then Krishna, he wants to make sure that you're being completely purified before he could have association with you. There is that sambandha that you want to have with Krishna. And for that, he expects some qualifications from you. And the devotee who is staunch and who has a great faith in the Lord, he is capable of withstanding all those trials and tribulations and come back in flying colors. For a devotee outside who's a newcomer, first we have to give them faith. Faith is all is required, because for them to dwell into philosophy will be too much, because they're just starting out. And slowly after they chant one or two rounds, you know, more they are in the association of devotees, more they see the association of devotees, they get inspired from each other. And in the process, you know, there will be a time where they'll be able to digest philosophy. But philosophy is not something that would be advisable for a newcomer. He just has to take it gradually. And, you know, Krishna Katha, these light, small stories where, you know, you just hear about Krishna and his sweetness, those kinds. And then first the faith has to develop, Mataji. After that faith, once it matures, then he can take philosophy and he'll be able to understand the reasoning behind why Krishna does what he does. So I don't know, Mataji, I don't know if I made sense, but I really wanted to convey a few thoughts. And thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thanks, Radhika, Mataji. Yes, you're so right, Mataji. Like they say, horses for courses. We need to give it a kindergarten level for a kindergarten, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade, and go on like that, make progress like that. You're so right, Mataji. Like, we need to assess what level a person is and then perhaps give it to them as much as they can handle, mouthful at a time. Thank you so much, Mataji. All wonderful realizations from all of you. And I'm really learning a lot from all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, all the Matajis. Vinita Mataji. Then we had Sitapriti Mataji, Radhika Mataji, Vrinda Mataji. All of you for coming forward and sharing such lovely realizations. Indu Mataji, thank you all so much. Anyone else wants to say anything to Mataji? Very, very beautiful, Mataji. All of you had some unique point to take home. Thank you all so much. Okay, so there are no other questions or comments. We can end the call here. Thank you for joining us again today and sharing your realizations. Vanchakalpataravesha Kripasindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananda Koti Vaishnavrandaki Joshna Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji, Hare Krishna.